God deserves a better amen than that. Let everybody say amen. The past words of the day is, God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let the church say amen once again. All righty. That's the way I like to hear you. This morning, we're going to speak from a subject called what happens when we sin. As Christians, what happens when we sin? Before we go to God before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed this morning to be here. We are so thankful to be here. We're so much in your debt that we owe you everything, oh Lord. For if it wasn't for you, we would not be here, and we're so thankful. Father, we come praying this morning for those who are sick and shut in. We pray that if it be your will, you just point them out and touch them with your healing finger that they might be relieved. If not, Father, let your will be done. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray that you might give them the knowledge and the wisdom to lead us. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in the audience this morning with heavy hearts. We pray that you might relieve their hearts of the stress and the strain that they may be under. We pray and thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died, hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to be with those who lead us in our nation and in our world, the politicians, that they may not make any rules or regulations that hinder us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for our service people, O Lord. We pray that you bless them as they stand guard all over the world for our safety and our security. Thank you, Lord. We pray and thank you, Father, for those of us who are going through it right now. We just ask that you bless us to have relief. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for the ones who know freedom only for a few minutes a day, for those who are behind prison bars. We just thank you, O Lord, and ask you to give them strength and courage to be able to face the new tomorrow that may come their way. Thank you, Father, for everything. Father, we pray for those who are traveling today that they might have safety to their destinations and a safe return to us once again. We pray and ask you to be with all of those who are raising children today. We pray and ask you to be with them to give them the wisdom and the knowledge to raise their children up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray and thank you especially for your darling Son, Jesus, who because he died, we have an opportunity to live everlastingly. Thank you, Father, so much for everything you've done for us. Now, as we move on into this portion of our services, we ask that you watch over and go with us, and the things that we do might be found decently and in order and acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know what a difference a week makes. I stood before you last week and I wasn't feeling well. I'm still not feeling my best, but I'm just thankful to God that I'm feeling much, much better than I was on last week. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us to be able to come out to hear another portion of thy divine word. You know, as I get older, I found out that things that used to heal in 2 days now take 2 months to heal. I found out that things are just don't go the way they should. The doctors tell you that fracture is going to be sore for 4 weeks. Well, it's more like 4 months now. But nevertheless, we are so thankful that God has blessed us to be able to see another day. And we're thankful that he has allowed you also to be here to see another day. And as we move into our lesson, what happens when we sin, when Christians sin? Sometimes Christians feel that there is no need to try to live a Christian life since they have fallen back into the grips of sin. So they say, I give up. I can't be a Christian. Well, let me tell you, that is far from the truth, because God does forgive. Look at verse number 9 of our text. Verse number 9 of our text in John 1, verses 8 through 10. Verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The question becomes, what happens when we fail to do what he wants us to do? We become guilty of sin, and we must confess our sins and seek his forgiveness. In other words, when we cover our sins, God will uncover them. But when we uncover them, when we uncover them, God will cover them. Do you remember Proverbs 28 and 13? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let us see what happens when sin befalls a Christian. To a Christian, fellowship with God should be considered as a precious commodity. In 1 John chapter 6, chapter 6, the Bible says, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. When a child of God is in fellowship with God, his life is under divine guidance of God. Then when trouble comes our way, we can come boldly to the throne. For we are told in Hebrews 4 and 16, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Only God's throne can offer us both grace and mercy. We go to God's throne not because he doesn't know what's going on with us, for he does, but instead he wants us to come to him. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 9, he searches our hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. No one should ever want to be cut off from God. When Christians sin, they break a fellowship that is more precious than anything this world has to offer us. Look around you. There doesn't seem to be much joy in our world today. And we should be the happiest people in the world, we as Christians. Where has all of our joy gone? Some say it's so bad in the world today it makes us all sad. Well, God never intended for his people to be miserable and unhappy. He intended for us to be happy and joyful in his salvation. Do you remember David in Psalms 51 where he asked God to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit? But when sin comes into our life and causes us this fellowship with God to be broken, there's no longer joy. Not only is our fellowship broken, but our peace is also disturbed. There's comfort and peace for those who walk with God. God sometimes may not remove the storms out of our lives, but he can give us peace in the midst of our storm, peace that we may endure whatever comes our way. I always like to use the scripture in Acts where Paul asked God, he said he asked him three times to remove whatever was wrong with him, the thorn in his flesh. But God didn't remove it. He simply told him his grace is sufficient. to get him through. He can give us peace in the midst of these storms that we go through. He can give us the peace that we may endure. For those who are governed by God's word, there should always be joy. For he that understands and loves God knows that God has his eye on us at all times. And should make us careful, that should make us careful to keep his commandments at all times. Not only on Sunday morning, but also every day of every week. Every one of us should seek after peace. Peace is what makes a stormy sea settle down. Did not Jesus speak to the wind and the waves of a stormy sea and cause them to cease their heaviness? He can calm our lives too. How do we know this? Well, look at Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Perfect peace is a good thing. Just ask a couple that's been battling with each other how they long to have perfect peace. Just ask the employee who wished that he could get along with perfect peace and that he would not have any problems with his coworker. Just ask the student who seek after perfect peace to go to school and learn from those who teach rather than having to listen to those who disturb the class because they think they know more than the teacher knows. Just ask anybody who seeks perfect peace, who's in trouble and seeking perfect peace, what they would give for perfect peace. You'd have some people who would state that they would give their right arm if they could have perfect peace. Peace is a good thing, church. Peace is a wonderful thing. And if you don't know what peace is, just try standing without peace. Try living in troubled times. And you'll know what peace you're seeking. Peace is good, but God can give us perfect peace. Our influence with others will be destroyed when we sin, when we as a Christian sin. When we consider the great influence one Christian may have on another one, wouldn't it be terrible to lose that influence on others? I believe Paul touched on this matter in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, where he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What good does it do for one to teach others the way and then lose his own way? So Paul wrote these words, I believe, to encourage himself in the way. You know, the preacher needs uplifting, edifying, and teaching too. So when the preacher preaches his message and it helps you, it just may be helping him as well. Christians should never want to be in a position of broken fellowship with God, nor lose the joy of salvation. A broken relationship is disheartening. But when the fellowship or relationship with God is broken, it's awful. It can cause our prayers to go unanswered. In Psalm 66 and 18, the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." It is a sad thing to call out to God knowing that he might not answer our petitions. It's even sadder to think that the only one in this world who can fix me may not fix me because I have put myself in a strained relationship with him. Psalm 66 and 20 says, "Blessed be the God which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Many times I think to myself how wonderful it would be for us if we could just go back to the old days. Back when people were kind to one another. Back to the old days when people looked out for one another. Back to when someone said good morning, it was heartfelt and it was meant. Back to when nobody had a mobile phone, so we all had to talk to each other to accomplish what we needed to accomplish. Back when text messages didn't exist. Back to the days when a driver gave a person enough time to get across the street before zooming off from the light. Back to when dinner time meant families to sit down and ate together. Back to when husbands and wives talked to each other and not at each other. Kids, back to the time when kids sought the advice of their parents. Most of all, we need to go back when we allow God to be our priority in our lives. We have kicked God out of schools and prayer has gone by the wayside. And the law and order has become what some consider to be oppression. Church, where have we gone wrong? The most important question is, why have we not allowed those things to occur? We need to go back to the old ways. And I know what some say. What's good about the old days? The best thing about the old days, some would say, is that they're gone. They're behind us. But I say we need to bring them back. How many times, if they are so bad, I would ask the question of that person who would answer and say the best thing about, why do you stand around and think about the old days when you could do this and you could do that, and now you can't do this and do that? But yet, we consider that we are moving ahead. We're progressing along. We need to go back to the old days when church was for the equipping of the saints and teaching of the unbelievers. We need to go back to answer the call of the Bible, where the Bible suggested in the book of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. For Jesus is coming soon and we need to get ready. And when he does, whether we are ready or not, he is still coming. Now when we go to the text, look at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How many times have you said, I'm a good person, I don't do anything wrong? Well, the Bible says the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God can fix us no matter what the situation is. God can fix us. And verse number 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Some of the best so-called Christians in the world would tell you a lie, not knowing that it's a lie because they think they're right. But the Bible says, once again, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm simply saying none of us are perfect people. But God can give us forgiveness. And confession to God can give us forgiveness and bring us back into the fold. That's all I'm saying. Now thank God this morning that we have a God like the God that we have. There is no other like him because there is no other God. There is no one else like him because he is the only God. There is no one else like him because he is the God getting fix everything. If God can't fix it, then if he doesn't have a fix, he'll make a fix for it. For he can make a way out of no way. Didn't he do a church for the children of Israel when they had to cross the Red Sea? He made a way for them through the waters. Didn't he take care of all of those Israelites who had left captivity and became under the command of Moses to lead them to the promised land? Didn't he fix them, church? Yes, he did. So what I'm suggesting this morning is very simple. If you think you're unfixable, try God. If you think God can't fix you, just ask him. If you think God won't fix you, just ask him. And then, when you consider this world in which we live, and you know I like to talk about this world in which we live, because it's a bad and an evil place. There's darkness throughout the world. People used to speak to you in the morning and they say good morning, and they meant good morning. Now you're lucky if you get a nod. When you go to the store these days, and stores are awful places to go sometimes because things are so high you can't afford to get what you need anymore. But nevertheless, in the store, the people who check you out, the grocery clerk who checks you out, now they just take whatever you got and they scan it across a computer and the price rings up and you assume that that is the right price. But you know, I watch when I'm in the store. I watch and I'll stop them in a minute and say, that's not right. That's not what the sign said in the back. You have to be on the lookout for your pennies. Even if it's only a penny, it's yours and not theirs. Because if they get a penny from me and a penny from you and a penny from everybody else, before the day is over, they made a more money than you can have, that you have, than you have. So what are you saying? I'm saying don't allow stuff like that to cause you to sin, because some people would get so mad and upset about it, they start cursing. But all I'm saying is that a Christian, when a Christian sins, he has a way to go to confess to God and ask God to cover his sin. Now, when I think about it more and more, church, I like to watch TV. I know most of you like to watch TV. But when I see some of the stuff that takes place on the TV, it doesn't bother me, but I can say that it causes me concern sometimes. But nevertheless, I just ask God to let me watch this and move on along and not cause me to fall because they fall. Then when I consider even further, church, I ask you this morning, if God is good to us all the time, and all the time God is good, why don't we trust him? And you say, well, I do trust the Lord. And well, if you trust the Lord, why isn't the church full this morning? If you trust him so much, why didn't you get up this morning and ask God to prepare you for church? Why didn't you ask God to fix you so that you can make it to church and be on time? You know, I don't like to talk about time because sometimes I step on people's feet. But that's okay. If I step on your toe and somebody reminded me this morning of the scripture, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And the answer to the question is no, I shouldn't become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Because if I stood here and lied to you, I could be friends with you. I don't think I like it like that. But then, when I think back to what I was saying about the good old days, and we need to go back to them. We need to go back, and I won't say we need to go all the way back to when church was 2 or 3 hours long. But sometimes, as a kid, I remember suffering through long Sunday services when I was a kid living down in Mississippi. I had to go to church. First of all, I had to ride on a wagon to get there. Second of all, I had to sit there through, and the building was not air conditioned. And it was hot in Mississippi. It is hot in Mississippi. And we had to sit there. And we had to go through this. And they had people who would jump over the benches and get happy, as they said. Knock chairs over. All in the name of being happy, so they said. And I took this to be the normal because I didn't know any better. But I want to tell you something. God is a good God. God is a wonderful God. And he wants us to obey him. He wants us to live under his commandments and his statutes. That's why a Christian should never be living in a world of sin. Now, are you going to live perfectly? No. Are you going to live without sinning? No, you're not. But you can come as close as you possibly can by trying to do right at all times. Now, does that mean you'll never sin? No, it does not. If you wake up on Sunday morning and you say to yourself, I think I'm going to go to church. Well, you started off on a bad foot because you just think you're going to go to church. You should say, I'm going to go to church. Who was that who said, I was glad to be in the household of the Lord? That was David. That's right. And I was glad when Sunday morning got here because I wanted to go to church. I wanted to get into the household of faith. I'm glad to get in the household of faith. I'm glad that God allowed me to see Sunday morning. I'm glad that he built the church of Christ so that I could so that when the doors open, I could be in the church. I'm so glad this morning that the church of Christ is in existence. Because other than that, where would we be, church? I'm so glad this morning that a Christian doesn't have to live in sin. When a Christian sins, that's a bad thing. When anybody sins, it's a bad thing. But especially to a Christian. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you ought to try to live right. Does that require anything on your part? Well, God doesn't ask for much, but it does require obedience on our part. Now, when I consider all that God does for us during the course of a week. He gives us 6 days during the week to do whatever we need to do, whether you work or whether, thank God, you are retired. It's a good thing. But then he asks for one part of one day to come to church. He doesn't even ask you for the whole day to be at church. Because we don't run through those 2 and 3 hour services anymore that I was talking about. We try to get you in and out at a decent time. And I know some of the sportsmen appreciate that because they can get to see all of the Bears games. But one thing I like about church, God built the church. That's what I like about it. Somebody told me one day that there is only one God. I know this. But if there is only one God, why are you not following that one God? If there is but one God, why are you not obeying that one God? If you are following God, that one God, and you believe there is only one God, then you ought to believe the Bible. When it says we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, when a Christian sins, his fellowship is broken with God. And who wants to live a broken relationship, a broken fellowship with the Lord, in a broken fellowship with the Lord? That's why I asked the question this morning, what can I do but serve the Lord? What can you do but serve the Lord? If you serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, you'll know what you're supposed to do. When you get up on Sunday morning, first of all, you need to lay your clothes out on Saturday night. You got more time on Saturday evening than you do on Sunday morning to get ready, especially if you want to get here on time. You don't want to be an 11 o'clock Christian. You know, and I've talked about the 11 o'clock Christian before. When you get here, you got to disturb your next door neighbor asking, what is he talking about? You got to figure out all while you're sitting back there, where is he at right now? If you get here on time, you'll have it from the beginning. Then you don't have to hunt your neighbor for anything except to say, good morning, how are you? But when you lay your clothes out on Saturday night, then you get up and you're ready for that fresh start on Sunday morning. When you get that fresh start on Sunday morning, then you can come into the church doors. You can be smiling because you're glad to be here, rather than being mad and having on one black sock and one blue sock because they look the same to you because you were rushed to put them on. You were rushed to get them because you didn't take time to lay them out. Dark blue looks black sometimes. So you need to get yourself together on Saturday night. Get yourself in the frame of mind that I'm going to church on Sunday morning and nothing is going to stop me, because I wish we could go back to the old day, not of the long church service, but of the church service in general, that I may learn of the Lord what thus saith the Lord, and serve him in spirit and in truth. And you know something? Don't be like my father was. Or don't be like me even. Don't drop your family off at church. Go to church with them. Go in the church with them. You know, I talked about coming in the church service last week. But you need to go in with your family. Be in there with them so they won't have to ask the question, where's daddy? And once you start coming to church, I promise you one thing. Brother Jackson, once you start coming to church, you're going to fall in love with it if you're sincere to begin with. And once you fall in love with church, that means you're in love with the Lord God Almighty. And you'll love to do his commandments. You'll love to follow him. You'll love to be a part of him. You'll love to be into the body of Christ. Now, speaking of being in the body of Christ, how many of you know that the Lord is good all the time, and all the time the Lord is good? I don't need the show of hands right now, but if you do, if you want to raise them, that's okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. If you love the Lord, you'll obey his commandments. If you love the Lord, you'll do the best that you can for him and for your fellow man. Speaking of your fellow man, look at your next neighbor to you. And just simply say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let everybody know that you care for the Lord and that you love the Lord by simply saying, thank you, Lord. And if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you are a member of the Lord's body, or you were a member of the Lord's body but you've fallen short, you ask the Lord to forgive you, come back to the church, ask the church, stand before the church, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you might find yourself a strong Christian once again. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.